fighting through with thank you, Harry. Before
sing it unto him now.
Lord, prepare me
to be your sanctuary, pure and holy, be tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be your way.
Sanctuary for you.
Amen. Just make me a sanctuary for the Lord. Good to see you all in the house of the Lord this morning. Good to see you. Brother Wilson and Sister Ina back with us. Glad to have them, and good to see them. And let's see. If you want to turn in your scriptures, turn to Leviticus 23 and 1 Corinthians 7. I got to get rid of this cough drop. Okay, good to see Brother Bob's mom and dad back there with us. Glad to have them. It's always good to see people. Now remember, the Lord willing, this Wednesday night we will start at 8 o'clock, not 7. All right? So we start at 8 o'clock this Wednesday night, and it'll be the Watch Night service. Brother Richard Wilson will be here with us preaching, the Lord willing, and there's about 25 or 30 of the people from his church, so we may have to put some seats around and do something, but that'd be great. But they're coming down and going to be with the fellowship, you know, do the fellowship meeting for us. All right. The sisters are asked, if you will, to bring finger food. You can talk about it, whatever you want to do, you know, kind of a little something with it. If Brother Al, if you had a bunch of that chili left, me and my wife were talking about it, you might bake us a pone of cornbread and bring that chili. Somebody might want it. But, you know, whatever you want to bring to where we can have something. You know, a little bit, we generally have a little bit before when we gather, because doing it at 8 o'clock, and then we always have after the service is over and we're finished, we generally have something to eat, because it's hard to go out and do and everything. So remember that and take care of that. All right, let's see. Trying to come down the line on my list. My wife and I thank you very much for all of the gifts that we have received through the Christmas time, and we appreciate very much the giving and the thoughts in your heart. And all, some have given them to us without, you know, it being with the group downstairs, and we certainly appreciate it. All right. Now, we also have the love offering box. You remember we talked about setting aside, and we have it there at the beside of the prayer request. All right. Now, what that is for is, to some that have maybe not heard, it is an offering box for you to put your offering in anytime you want to, as for to be an offering, and it will be to be given to, you know, help the people that maybe their jobs are low or going down on money, whatever, and it will be done to help do those things. Brother Gary Atkins there was the one that brought up the idea, and then I just appointed, you know, Terrence and Brother Gary Krantz to take care of that and helping in the money part of it. But Brother Gary is there. He's the beginning of it, so he's the one in it, you know, to do. So, you know, if you have any needs, talk to these brothers, and they will get together, the three of them, and they will be giving out, you know, the money to who needs it. Now, this is not to pay your house rent for 6 months or anything like that. We're not going to be able to do that. Even when times drops down, we can't be able to keep, you know, paying all of your bills and everything for you. So I suggest now, as your pastor, I would suggest that you put aside some money at home. don't go in debt now, all right? I'm just honest. I don't talk to you plain about things because your business is your business. But you go in head over heels in debt right now, you may have trouble paying your bills.
Right.
And we as a church cannot take up the bills of everything. It will only be to help. The offering will be to help do and to get kind of over the hump. We're not starting a welfare system to be run from the church, all right? But, I would suggest you be very close with your money. We dropped off of the building on to the church because of this situation that come up in the time of troubles, you know, with everybody in their jobs and their stuff like that. So, you know, I would suggest you run a tight ship for a while and try to pay off what you can, because you may next week not have a job. I know God will take care of us. Now, we're not to doomsday, you know. I know God will take care of us. He'll multiply food. Sure, I believe that. But now there's no need of being dummy and go and throw out all your food.
Right?
Oh, we'll just throw it all out today because he's going to give us more tomorrow. Now, you might be hungry the next day.
That's right.
And then the day or two after then, until you get over your little spark of what you think you're so spiritual. So I would just, talking natural to you now, just try to get your financial matters in good shape and everything and all of those things to do that with. And it's, the box is back there, so when you go out, and we will have it announced ever so often, to make sure you keep up with it, but to just drop your money down in there, and Brother Gary and Brother Terrence will get together and, you know, do what they want to do with what they're doing, and there will be no question from me as to what they do. And I will not be directing other than if I see a need, I may go to them, you know, and say, because, see, we've never given you an opportunity to participate. We generally just take care of everything ourselves in the church, and we will still do the best we can, but we can't take on everything. We just try to supply money for some that are not able to travel, and you know, stuff like that, and all trying to help in that line of the doings to get you to where you can get to church. Don't ever stay out of church because you say you don't have any money to get gas. Now, when you do, I'm telling you up front, you're in trouble with the Lord. Okay? Because I'm telling you, you let me know, and the money will be there. I might not be able to put you, what is the biggest, that's not a porterhouse, I can't even afford them things. So I might not be able to buy you the best, but I'll try my best to get you to church and back. Okay? All right, does everybody understand what we're saying? And that, you know, when I try to explain things, I always mess it up. But that's the best we can do. Leviticus 23, you might want to turn the air on because some are saying hot, some are saying cold. Oh, it's this time of the year, hard to do, so just click it over on the air and put it on about somewhere around, some says 40, some says 70, so go in between somewhere and we'll try to, you know, because it does get warm to everybody and all, and we're sorry that it does go up and down at this time of the year. Amen. So we do the best we can. Okay. And thank you for everything, as I said, for the Christmas. And we had a wonderful time, really had a good year. We have doing this year, and I appreciate the Lord for being with us and helping us all and guiding us to where that we can go into another year. I'm looking forward to another year and another time. You say, well, I'm looking forward to the coming of the Lord. Well, I was looking forward to that a long time ago, and I'm still looking forward to it. I like what Billy Graham said one time. He said, if he don't come when I'm up or something, he said, he'll be there in the morning. I forgot the exact wording. If he don't come before dark, he'll be up in the morning. So we just appreciate that. All right. Now, maybe in the next few services, we may get into some things that some of you might call unnecessary things. But I believe it's necessary to understand some dates and times and seasons. And I have been requested that I speak on the feast days, the seven feast days of Leviticus 23, and we've covered started on that, and this is message number 3 on it. If you've missed these, go back and please listen to them, because it's not humdrum of this day and that day. It might be very interesting if I just ask you to read a scripture and say, is that right?
Right.
You say, well, yes, the scripture. I said, well, that can't be right, because this scripture says this. He said, what do you mean? You said it's wrong? No, it's not wrong. It's right.
Right.
But it's wrong in your understanding. It's just, you know, is that enough to confuse you? Okay. Because I believe God will give the answer for everything. Like Brother Branham, you know where we'll go to eventually. He said, you've run out of tops. He said, no, I haven't. He said, I got one more. Well, see, nobody had taught on that one, you know, but he did. So we have to depend on them. Okay. Leviticus 23, 1 Corinthians 5. Father, we thank you for this day and the opportunity of gathering. Thank you for your love and your understanding of each and every one of us. And we pray that you would just bless us now. Bless Wade and June as they're way there, and Josh and him, Lord, there at Brother Dutch's today in the services, and just be with them and just have your way with each and every one, and bless those that are not here. And Lord, just have your way as we talk about you. Forgive our sins, because that's where we want to stand complete in you. Guide us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Leviticus 23, we'll read the first 5 verses. I ask you to do, and Brother David passed me a note of some things that he was doing, so I've asked you to read Leviticus 23, the whole chapter, and then write me a note about it ahead of time. That's fine. We'll be glad to cover those things, you know. And if it's something that's wrong, I won't call your name out. I might say, now, this is not right, but, you know, I'll do the best I can. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, concerning the feast of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feast. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest and holy convocation. You shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which ye shall proclaim in their seasons. In the 14th day of the first month at evening is the Lord's Passover. So you may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Okay, two, please. Anybody that, I don't care if you're using the copying machine. It's no problem to use a copying machine. There is one downstairs set aside for you to use. All right, and if you mess that one up, I'm not a computer whiz. So I got in there today and put it in and run, and I couldn't get it to go, and I couldn't get it to go, and I couldn't get it to go, and got Brother Bob, he worked on it, and we got, instead of getting 55 copies, we got 110. Okay, so please, somebody's going to have to straighten the thing out. So please, if you go in there, I've got a note on my computer at home, please do not change any setting on this computer. Now, I don't mind you using it, but set it back where you started. Because I'm a dummy when I walk in there and the thing, I push it and it's supposed to work and it don't work. I have to call for somebody else. And you know. But just please, if you use the things, put it back. Use the one downstairs for your use is the better way. And if it's tied up, come up and use it. But just please, put it back where it was. If it says on the front of that thing, put it back to whatever, because I get confused, okay? They all still laugh at my cut and paste. Brother Bob's daddy would really laugh at that, because I have my own cut and paste. I find a quote, I cut it out, my paper, and I put it together, and I stick it together with tape, and I bring it, and I run it off. I don't use those cut and paste in the computer, because I'm the dummy on the computer. I just use the computer to get what information I want. And me and that fella has trouble sometimes. All right. But now listen. The said, this is a kind of a series, and it'll take a while to cover these things. And I'm not trying to drag it out. I'm trying to shorten it, really. Because you could spend months and months on any one thought, you know, of the doings. And but I want to try to do it, to try to cover it, to help you, not to just numbers-wise, but to show you the perfection of the numbers of the Bible. That's to me, because that's the way the prophet was, and the way he would bring out things. He'd say, you can't put this over here. He said, because wrong number. See? Wrong number. See? And we'll get to one in just a minute, and you'll see what I'm talking about. See, if you get it incorrectly placed, you've got the wrong number. You say, well, all I'm interested in is salvation. Well, that's fine too. But that's what I'm trying to preach. That's all I've ever tried to preach for salvation. Because that's what the Bible is. All right? But the numbers of the Bible comes out to be a beautiful situation. As I said, we could spend days on the talking about the Sabbath. You know. But we know what the Sabbath is. It's the seventh day. And your Seventh-day Adventist, as far as the Old Testament Sabbath, are correct when they're teaching that the Sabbath is Saturday. That's correct. See, under the Old Testament. See, we worship the first day of the week on Sunday in honor of the resurrection, not as a commandment of any form, because we're supposed to keep every day, not just one, every day to a Christian is the same. We meet on Sunday. But I've told you before, I've always been this way about it. If 90% of the people in the church said, well, we can't get together on Sunday, I'd say, okay, we'll take Saturday. That wouldn't make a Seventh-day Adventist. You know, we just meet on Saturday. But we do in honor of the resurrection. See? Because that's the point of the whole thing. The thing is to get what the days mean to us now. And that's what I'm trying to get these feast days to mean to us now. All right, that's why we read there in 1 Corinthians 5, 7, and 8. Or we didn't read it, we just announced it. We'll read it in a minute. See, Christ is our Passover. All right, we believe that. And I'm wanting to see what's here for us today to help us to understand the Bible and the purity of the Bible. All right. Now remember what we read. We read here, and it's very vital to keep up with, that the ever 7 days was the Sabbath. Okay, ever 7 days was a Sabbath. They had a Sabbath of the land for ever 7 years and things like that. All of those things meant something. And Brother Branham, I gave you the quote there in the message. Let's see if I even got mine. Because I keep giving this over and over, where he said that the seven feast days, future home. The seven feast days is a type of the seven church ages. So then we are going to enjoy these things. And like I told you, these days in the Old Testament were set aside in Exodus, Leviticus. They were done while they were in the journey. Then it would say, when you enter the land, do this. But they would do these things as they were journeying. See, because it meant something to them. But it meant more when they entered the promised land. See? So down through seven church ages, see, you've had the word. Right, Terrence, they say now it's getting too cold. Okay, so click it to the fan somewhere. That's why it's hard in this time of the year. But now listen. Ever 7 days, feast is a Sabbath.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
Now, but the feast days start on where now? The first feast, the feast of the Lord's Passover, is on the 14th day of the first month, which is April to the Jews now. Not January, it's April to the Jews. Because see, you're in the Old Testament. It's to the Jews. It's April the 14th. 14th. Alright. Now, in doing that, you would start then, we'll read on the next one when we get to it, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, we'll start on the 15th. Alright? See? Alright? Then you gotta keep up to understand what's going on and to see where you're at. Right. See, then when you do, you will see that it's perfect mathematically, like I said, if you get it together correctly. Exodus and Leviticus seems to be contrary one to the other. But it's not when you understand. Even the writers, I've read some the other day on picking up some kind of like a commentaries off the computer on it, of what I could look up, and they argue about this day and that day. You that have been around long enough know that it's always been argued, even in the Baptist, was argued that some people believe Jesus was crucified on Thursday, put in the grave on Thursday, and he was there Friday, Saturday, and raised sometime on late Saturday afternoon and hung around to Sunday morning and appeared to the disciples. Because they're trying to make all the scriptures right. See? But that's incorrect. But it might be an amazing thing to see what it does start at when we get to those times and the things to understand the Bible. Right? And then you can understand, like, Jesus coming. The Bible said he was come walking on the water in the fourth watch of the night. The prophet said there was only three watches in the night, the rapture message. Nine to twelve, 12 to 3, 3 to 6. But under the Roman system, they had four watches. Their watches were 6 to 9, 9 to 12, 12 to 3, 3 to 6. That's the Romans. But that would still be incorrect if you want to use that style of form to try to get to it. See? No. See? Jesus come walking on the water at the ending of the third watch, which would have been 6 o'clock, and he would have been in the fourth watch, tying together, but what would he be? He would be in the resurrection morning. Because the resurrection, the prophet said, is going to come one morning between 6 and 9. Well, see, the Bible's right, but we just try to interpret it. See? That's why your prophet, he was a Bible prophet. That's how he knew these things.
Right,
and by his showing us what these things mean, then we can go back in the Bible and see what it's talking about. Then you don't have to throw away one writer that says fourth watch and other writer or this and all this. No, no, it's all right. If you know what you're talking about. But if you don't, it's mighty confusing. What I'm here to say is, as illiterate as I am with a ninth grade education, by what the prophet says, the Lord showed me how these days and these things fits together until I don't see any breaks in it anywhere. Any problems. Even to the scriptures look like it says it's wrong. But now listen. The Lord's Passover. Alright? Now, that Passover started on the 14th day of the month. Now, it didn't matter where it was a Sabbath, or a Sunday, or a Monday, or a Tuesday, or a Wednesday, or a Thursday, or a Friday. It didn't make no difference what the day was. But it was so wonderful the way it fell when it come to the time of Christ. Because you got to remember, even under the calendar that was before the flood, that would have run 30 days to a month. Even in that, you can't calculate and keep the Sabbath running on the 1st and the 7th and the 14th and the 21st and the 28th. You can't do it. It falls off. Right?
Right.
See, it moves around.
Amen.
So don't get confused. Just read your scripture.
Right. Amen.
And it'll show you exactly to where everything lays if we follow the scripture. That's why I spent a whole service trying to explain the difference between a Sabbath day and a feast day. A feast day is when God proclaims a certain day. You start here, you end here. But a Sabbath can fall anywhere in between there. Because it moves around. Do you understand that?
Amen.
It doesn't fall on the same. But the feast day now of the Lord's Passover, it's always to be on the 14th day. All right. Now, I gave you some quotes where the prophet looked like he was contrary. But you better be careful with him. I gave you some quotes where he said that the lamb was kept up 14 days. You've got them there, which is God's provided place of worship, provided way, 53, end time in Phoenix, 54, even to the token of 63, where he's covering that the lamb was kept up 14 days. Yeah. But then you drop over to the message, God's chosen place of worship, and he said the lamb was kept up 4 days. Well, go back and read your Bible. See? The lamb would have had to have been caught or brought around or done something. See? So when you're getting ready, you're on the first day of the month of April, you know on the 14th you got to have a lamb. You got to have a lamb to come forward. So what do? You go out and get one. Somewhere in that 10 days, you get him. All right. But see, then on the 10th day, you put it up. And you keep it up till the 14th day. All right. And see, what you're doing is, you're bringing it to fulfill the scripture, because that's what it says in Exodus, that we'll get to in a little while. See? It's brought in on the 10th day, put up, so the prophet's right on both places. You say, well, how could he be right when he said, kept up 14 days, and then he said, kept up 4 days? Because remember, these feast days is the type of the seven church ages. There's seven church ages in the Old Testament, there's seven church ages in the New. That's 14 days. The lamb's been kept up. The lamb's been examined now for seven church ages, because it was examined for seven church ages in the Old Testament. The lamb, the word.
Right. Right.
See? All right. Now we'll get to it later on. There can't be no leaven there.
Come on.
Can't be no leaven in it. See? Can't be no man's ideas. But see, the prophet's right both ways, because he said he kept up 14 days. That's the church ages and the thing. That's doing it. But then it's technically, scripturally kept up 4 days. Because
right.
That's the time of making sure that it's right.
Right.
Making sure that there's no blemishes, there's no marks, there's no wrong, nothing wrong with it. You can't just go out and grab anything.
That's right.
It had to be perfect.
Amen.
And every house, now we covered this in the last message. Every house, you go back to Exodus 12. Every house had to kill a lamb, not just one lamb for the whole children of Israel. In the feast of the Passover, every family had to have a lamb. All right? But if the lamb, if it was just a small amount of people in the family, then you joined together with your neighbors.
Right.
I'm quoting scripture if you go back to Exodus.
Amen.
All right? And see, when they did that, you go with your neighbors, because it's all got to be eat, or it's all got to be burnt before the next morning.
Oh my.
All right? Because that's why we burn the communion bread. See? Because it's a type of holding over. See, like we used to do as Baptists and things like that, we'd just buy it for 3 months, and we'd take it and give it out, and there's little old square crackers and things, and we'd give it out, and we'd just take it back and put it in the freezer, and 3 months later we'd take communion again. Well, see, it's a type of what we understood. But that's not throwing off on nobody.
Right.
But we burn the bread. We burn the unleavened bread. Huh? Now, because the Lord's Passover has got to be unleavened bread. Okay. We'll go back into the Exodus in a minute and pick up some time. But listen. Do you understand what the prophet says? See, he's 14 days. He's not off the scriptures. It's just our understanding that's off.
Right.
And if he did misunderstand that, he corrected it himself.
Right.
If you want to count it to be that way. I don't, because it would fit the church ages exactly of 70 old and 7 of the new. And that's the 14 days. Because the lamb was examined there and the lamb was examined. You said, well, I didn't know. Well, Brother Brown said there were 7 church ages in the Old Testament. I can't place them. But now listen. This Passover, always in Israel, it was set aside on the 10th day. That's Exodus 12, 1 through 11, if you want to read through there. The lamb represented Christ. Right? The lamb back there represented Christ. Okay. Now we went through these things. It was to be cooked. The blood was placed. Exodus, you know, the token. It'll be, that's 13, verse 13 of the 12th chapter. But it tells you, Exodus really tells you what to do, and it tells you what it is and what to do with it. We'll read that in a minute, but I wanted to say a few words before we get to that point. Now, the offering of the sacrifice was not first made in Exodus. The offering of the sacrifice of the lamb was first made in Genesis. Right? When sin had appeared. But when this came in, it became the Lord's Passover. The Lord told him, that's why it says the Lord's, if you look, that's that capital letters, I like it. The Lord's Passover. Alright? Now he was going to pass over the children of Israel. The blood on the doorpost. The blood on the doorpost signified the life had went out of the lamb. You remember the other week we were talking about it? The life had went out of the lamb. But see, it wasn't just the blood on the doorpost. They had to eat the lamb. They had to be a partaker of the lamb, not just blood over the doorpost. The blood over the doorpost, sure, that was to show that I'll pass through the land of Egypt. It's not, when I see that blood, I'll pass by you. But what was they doing inside there? You just didn't kill the lamb, get the blood, paint the doorpost, throw him out in the yard. Now, it wouldn't have been the Lord's Passover. I like what some of the writers said about it. They said, well, see there, it says the Lord's Passover. He said, that's not man's Passover. I like the comments they made about it. He said, this is not man's Passover. This is the Lord's Passover. See, in the Lord's Passover, they were to cook the lamb.
Right.
All right. I know some of them didn't like it when it got, and Brother Aaron done a wonderful job on it, but, you know, it's been cooked with the entrails in it and everything, and then you're going to eat the thing, and you're going to put herbs with it beside all that. He says, well, I wouldn't do that. Well, you wouldn't be safe either. Oh, the blood over the doorpost takes care of me. That's what you're thinking, see?
Right.
Now, it's when you do what God says for you to do. He said, kill the lamb. Put the blood there. Fine, I can see that. But you eat the lamb. Because if you don't eat the lamb, it don't matter what the blood on the doorpost stands for. Unsincerity back there would have meant death. You say, oh, I got the blood. But I throwed the lamb out because I didn't want to fool with eating all that stuff with them guts on the inside of it. I don't want to let my hair grow out and take the paint off my face and quit wearing all these junky clothes and stuff. Right? I'm a Christian. I'm a Jewish believer, they could have said. I've got the circumcision because that was over in Genesis, remember?
Amen.
But this is a commandment. You can't have blood over the doorpost until you first kill the lamb. Well, the reason for killing the lamb is to eat the lamb. Not to just get his blood out of him.
Right.
It all goes together.
Right. Amen.
It's all taken as one thing together. You must eat that lamb. And if you don't eat that lamb, you wouldn't be saved. Because
right.
See, that put it inside of you.
Amen.
The blood sure was a type. Well, we know that. Life's in the blood. But they ate it too. This Christian life is not something that you just claim, well, I go to church on Sunday and I do this. I'm a Christian. No. It's every day of the week.
Amen.
It's every day of the week. It's not just that way. Now watch what we're getting to. Moses said, do these things. Kill the lamb, put the blood over the doorpost, but eat the lamb. Because what was that doing? That was representing that they were going out. That's why it's the Lord's Passover. The blood he would pass over killing them. But it was to be a remembrance to be done once a year of the fact that he brought them out of Egypt. The Lord's Passover. He brought them out of Egypt. Okay? And in doing that, then, see, the lamb had to be ate.
Right.
See? Well, I don't think it's important. Well, I guess it wasn't enough for Jesus to do. The last thing he done was ate the physical lamb Passover. Then he instituted communion. And I ask you the question, where did he get that from? It's got to be in the scripture. See? All right? Now watch. Let's go back now. If we can get that established on the 14th day, let's go back to Exodus and just pick it up now and look at it of what's going on. Now, I'll try to scan down until we get down to what I'm wanting to. So you find out that it's too small for anybody. I mean, a house is too small. All of you get together, verse 4. Then verse 6, it's the lamb was taken a blemish without, you know, and all like that of the verse 5. Then you get to the 14th day. See? Keep it up until the 14th day. See? All right? And then you take of the bread, the blood, excuse me, strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. Then you eat the lamb, then you understand. Listen, are you following me? You eat the flesh that night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread, and bitter herbs shall you eat it. Unleavened bread. Now, mark that down on a piece of paper that you're going to keep with you. Because it'll be very valuable later on. Unleavened bread didn't start on the 15th. Even your commentators thought it did and messed it up. Some of them. Unleavened bread started on the 14th. That's why Jesus would know when he ate the unleavened bread that he could take that same bread that they ate of the unleavened bread, turn right around and institute what we call the communion. See, I told you, the unleavened bread's got to be in the, for him to take unleavened bread, for him to do the communion, it's got to be in the scriptures.
Right.
Yeah. And like I went through trying to explain to you that there Jesus was. That these feasts and everything, that this is just not playthings to Israel, even till today.
Right.
When that April of the 13th or somewhere along in there, maybe a few days before then, I don't know exact, but they start making preparation.
Right.
And you know what they do? They sit around the table with the family. Instead of running them off in the back room with a TV to watch. That sure was a good one. I thought a lot of people tell you, say, oh man, I sent my kids to bed and the TV's in the bedroom. Take the TV out of the bedroom if you're going to send them to bed. Oh, we're punishing them. Oh my goodness. I'd enjoyed that punishment. But listen, Jesus, you remember I tried to explain it. There he was as a child coming up. He said, and listen, to Joseph explain that. Until Joseph passed on somewhere after his 13th, because he, you know, after his 13 or whatever it was there, that he goes up, you know, and to the Passover feast and things and all like that, and then he's there with the scholars and things. Sometime after then, Joseph passed away. Somebody else took over. They would sit down and explain what this meant. Well, what does this mean, Daddy? Well, it meant here that the blood was going to be a sign over the doorpost that we would not die. But it means when daylight comes, we're getting out of here.
Amen.
When it comes daylight, we're moving out. This is the Lord's Passover when he's going to take us out of Egypt. All right. See, Jesus even himself would come to explain those things. And he was trying to explain those things in doing, and even after he entered his ministry, that he would enter the ministry at about 29 and a half. We'll get to those things a little bit later. That's Luke 3 and 23 and 24. He began to be about 30. Because you can't get it together that Jesus was born in April and crucified in April and let him preach 3.5 years. Show me that. He preached 3.5 years, right?
Right.
Well, how could he be born in April, crucified in April? Those are the quotes from the prophet. So he began the ministry at 29 and a half. Because like Brother David and I have been talking, a lot of us talking about, and I'll show you even to the, later when we get to it, even to, if you spent 1 minute in a day before, that's a whole day. That's why Jesus could be put in the tomb on Friday, stayed in the tomb Saturday, and rose Sunday morning, and he was in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. The scripture's right. It's our understanding where we're missing it at. We think we got it all figured out. Read Genesis 1 before we get to it. It won't be today. But in the Jewish time, a day begins on the afternoon. You ever talk to Seventh-day Adventists? They'll say, well, certain things we can't. That'd be Friday evening or Friday night there, you know, on the second shift. And they'd say, certain things we can't do tonight because our Sabbath has already begun. Said, but now tomorrow night when the sun goes down, we can do anything we want to. See, they know the days. But in Genesis 1, it says the evening and the morning is the first day. It doesn't say the morning and the evening. Well, I don't see how that can be. Well, then you're not in the scriptures. You don't understand what it's talking about. How could they have brought Jesus in there on and had him out and crucified him? It'll fit perfect if we understand. But you get what I'm talking about. That lamb, according to Exodus, was put up. Verse 13, when you get to that, you find that it's covering the token. But it's to be eight. Let's see, I'm trying to find that. Yeah, I think we covered it. But verse 8 says, eat the flesh and the innards with bitter herbs, and it's to be unleavened bread. So the unleavened bread starts on the 14th, not on the 15th. That is another feast altogether. The unleavened bread starts on the 14th. That ties together the scriptures. You say, but the unleavened bread feast started on the 15th. Unleavened bread feast started on the 15th. We're going to go through the scriptures and show you some tonight. Then just see whether or not our mental capacity can receive the Word of God. Oh, Brother Dale, you're just an intellectual. Thank God for intellect.
Amen.
But listen. Go down to verse 14 of Exodus 12. Let's start. Because there's going to be some surprises right here in the scriptures as we read them. But then we try to read over in Leviticus. Yeah. And this day, now that's the Lord's Passover. Yeah. But what is this day? And this day shall be unto thee for a memorial, and ye shall keep it for a feast and feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off out of Israel. I got so tickled. Brother Dick Nim was explaining one time that they had a Seventh-day Adventist, I believe it was, or something, that would keep their children in the nursery because they didn't care what day they worked. So they just hired somebody to take care of the nursery. Okay, you remember telling that? They had somebody there that took care of the nursery. Because that was, they didn't care where they worked or not. But they'd done too with their Sabbath. You could go ahead and do what, you know. But listen. But the first day until the seventh, that soul shall, that, you know, if you eat unleavened bread, it'll be cut off. And in the first day, there shall be an holy convocation. Now the word convocation means like an assembly, a gathering. It can even be called a reading. because that's what they done. They got together, and we're here today. We're under a holy convocation. We're gathered. We're assembled. We're here today, and we're reading the Word. We're talking about the Bible, and it's a solemn time set aside for those things. All right. Now, there shall, and in the first day there shall be an holy convocation, and the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. Now remember what we was explaining? No work on the Sabbath day. No cooking on the Sabbath day. You didn't cook on the Sabbath day. It says no work. But when you get in Leviticus, and we'll read that in a minute, then it changes from no work on the Sabbath to no servile work. Ever how you pronounce that word? No slaverish work. You know, it changes the meaning of the word. Because we just read right here, no manner of work shall be done in them save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you, and you shall observe the feast of the unleavened bread. For in this selfsame day I brought you out of the armies of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall you observe this day in your generation by an ordinance forever. So that's what they're doing. You come out, you come out, you come out. So they explain that to them. But you remember I was telling you about Jesus? That even though he would explain those things, but when John said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world," he immediately knew he was that Passover lamb. What all he had read and all he had studied come alive, and he knew that he was going to his death. Somewhere he realized that. But when John said the Lamb of God, he knew exactly where he was in the Scripture. You think he didn't know when he got up to that feast day and wanted to eat that Passover with them one more time? He'd eat the Passover at least three times with them because they were 3 years in the ministry. But now listen, let's catch something. And the first day, now, remember my point of what I said a while ago. Any part of a day makes a whole day. Don't take 24 hours. Any part of the day makes a whole day. That's Jewish teaching. I'll read it to you later. I'll have them in my notes back there. Off. If you want to go home, go home with your computer and just run in the word day. And it'll bring you up the number of it, and it'll explain exactly what I just said. Any part of the day is a whole day. Listen. And the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at evening, ye shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 and 20th day of the month at evening. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses. Anybody counted yet? I told you to mark down 14. Look, 14 is 1, 15 is 2, 16 is 3, 17 is 4, 18 is 5, 19 is 6, 20 is 7, 21 is 8. Oh, you think that prophet didn't know what he's talking about? You think he only needed that over to Leviticus 23:36? There's 8 days. There's 8 days. You think that Bible ain't right? Read it. 14th. Oh, but that's only 7 because you count 14, 15, 16, 17. Because see, you count 15, 14, and 15 makes 1, 16.
No. Mm-mm. You begin your unleavened bread on the 14th at the time of the Passover. Now we're going to get into scriptures. It looks like it's totally contrary to that, even into Matthew and Luke when we get time. But if you remember one key, it will always help you. Unleavened bread was on the day of the Passover. And that's why Jesus would offer and eat the unleavened bread, but turn around and take the same unleavened bread and institute the communion would make it perfect. Because then once you complete these days, you got 8 days. I didn't write that in the Bible. I didn't write verse 18 where it says in the first month, on the 14th day of the month at evening, ye shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 and 20th day of the month at evening. That's 8 days.
Right.
See, these things mean a whole lot more than you think they mean.
But
it looks like that it's contrary, because we get over into Leviticus now, 23, where we was at, and we'll go ahead and read on down in it, but we won't talk about this unleavened bread much. But verse 6 says, on the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread unto the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. But just remember, you've already got it 1 day. See, when that prophet came over there, he had all of these understandings, but he didn't have a direct statement, because people argue there, you know, this, that. So he goes to Leviticus 23:36. There's a holy convocation on the first day. There's a holy convocation on the 8th day. He knew exactly what he was talking about. Then he had it in the scriptures to where he could explain it. But do you see what I'm trying to cover? And you just think of all of the years that the Lord Jesus, that just broke my heart up to think about it. All of those years from a child up, he had all these things explained to him. Over and over, every year they was explained. Then he come a day, he began to explain it himself. But then there become a day, he began to live it. All of that back there was only a type. You say, but Brother Dale, the prophet said it's the type of the 7 church ages. I thought we believed that Christ was our Passover through all 7 church ages. You mean we're going to only take the ones that are not dealing with, quote, a church age? You see, folks, my point has always been tried to get you to see things. And you say, well, what importance is it? Well, what's the importance of water baptism? Why don't we just go back and get Father, Son, and Holy Ghost back? Well, we don't have to understand these things. Can you explain how that Jesus was crucified on Friday and resurrected Sunday morning and make that 3 days? But listen, there was a Passover, and you had unleavened bread. And we'll cover later that there were 7 days of unleavened bread. That makes 8 days. Already spoken of you 8 days. See? That's why, let's just look at those scriptures. Look over and let's see if we can find something that looks like contrary. I love these things where they look contrary, because I just wait on the Holy Spirit. I said, Lord, I ain't got enough sense to figure that out. Come and tell me. Look in Matthew 26. Everybody there? Matthew 26. Look at verse 17.
Now, the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? Now, if you're on the Feast of Unleavened Bread, you've done past the Passover. Do you understand? You got your scriptures messed up. You've done went over the Passover. Then you go down and read the next verse that Jesus tells them to where to go prepare for the Passover. Read it. So this has to be referring to the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread as being the day of the Passover. Because we just proved that there's 8 days. From the 14th to the 21st is 8 days. If you're 7, you mess up your scripture. But the Bible says the first day. The first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread is the day of Passover. Because you can't have the Feast of Unleavened Bread and then the Passover later. All right. Drop back in Luke. Or go over to Luke. What is it? Luke 22. Okay. Everybody there? I'd suggest you write a note between these two to make sure you understand. Are you there? Luke 22, verse 1. And if you'll see right in here, if you got a Scofield Bible, it tells you this goes over to 26. It's supposed to be the same thing. But listen to the wording. I love Luke. Now the Feast of Unleavened Bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. But unleavened bread is the 7 days. But Matthew can't be contrary to Luke. So Luke explains it. Now the Feast of Unleavened Bread do not. The Feast of Unleavened Bread hadn't got there yet. The Feast of the Passover was that day. And that would begin unleavened bread in your Feast of the Passover. That's why you come out with 8 days. Because if you don't come out with 8 days, you don't have eternal life.
Right. Amen.
Where do we get down to some of these other things, maybe? Like the wave loaf. And how the wave loaf is the two loaves, which was the bride. And they're baked with leaven. You see, church, we're not following Brother Branham's message. We're following some man and a quote of a thought we think we understand. We're not in the Bible. And I couldn't be in the Bible. I ain't intellect enough to figure these out. I said and looked at this over and over the other day. And Lord, there's a contradiction. What's wrong? He said, bring this scripture. Bring this scripture. I can't figure it out. I lay it down. I get up and go do something.
Amen.
I come back and turn on the computer and start running leaven to understand a few things off of that for a later message. And all at once it starts appearing.
Right.
See, we think we know what it is because we say, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. We say it started on the 15th. Already had the unleavened bread in the Passover.
That's right.
Already had that part coming in. See, See, that's why Jesus could institute, or what you call the word, the communion, the night of the Passover. He could bring out the things that we need to have our understanding of. Where did he get that from? He got it from the scriptures that he over and over and over had brought into being. And he saw, I am the Lamb. I'm the Lamb, I'm going to die. The blood will be applied to the seven church ages and would pass over. But what about the rest? Oh, they throw off on that bed. They say he was just a man until the River Jordan. Forget it. That's what tears me up. Is to think that they don't understand scriptures. Can't fight scriptures. That's what I'm just showing you. Read Leviticus and read Exodus, and it looks like it's contrary one to the other, but by the Holy Spirit it'll come together and make a beautiful picture. Read Matthew and read Luke, it looks like, but it's a beautiful picture once it comes together. Because Matthew wasn't wrong when he was talking about the first day of the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, because the first day of the Feast of the Unleavened Bread was on the Passover time. Then they had a time of the Passover that was finished to come out of Egypt. Now listen. Then the feast of... I'll get ahead of it. When you hit the Feast of Unleavened Bread, you better be able to eat it. But you better be knowing how to get out the leaven out of it. Now I'm going to ask you sisters a simple question, be valuable later. But in your human minds, you better listen. How do you get yeast to make unleavened, to do your bread to make it leavened? And we're not talking about going down to the store and buying self-rising. Okay. We're not talking about maybe 50 or 100 years ago ever when they developed self-rising. We're talking about wheat, ground up wheat. Do you think you just leave wheat in that natural state and it's unleavened? All you got to do is put water in it and you'll find it out. I can give you even to the formula that you can make it from corn, and yeast is everywhere. It's like, I like what one man said, because it said, no yeast among you. It's impossible. Do you know to make this building yeast free, you know what you'd have to do with it? Burn it. Yeast is in dust. See, but we know all about it. You take water and put it with wheat, it won't rise like self-rising. I'm not talking about that. But that's how you get it to for the next batch, right? Now come on, sisters, am I right? You take unleavened wheat bread, unleavened, you know, plain flour, we call it now. And what do? It don't have no salt, it don't have no soda in it, it don't have no... That's what you add to it, and that's what they do with it at the factory, and they call that self-rising, because it means it'll rise by itself. But now, how was it done? You take you keep a little yeast, right? You keep a little fermented meal, and you put it aside, and tomorrow you mix that right in with your plain flour. And what does it do? It make all of it rise. If you keep it too long, it'll become sourdough. Right? What do you call it? A starter? But you add water to wheat and watch it.
Because that's the way they originally started it. It's impossible to make anything totally unleavened unless you burn it. Because yeast is fungus. Come on. Yeast is fungus. Fungus is everything. You see, that's why, folks, we're not putting our attention back into the Bible. It's just, oh, Brother Branham was a prophet, and we believe that. Is that all? All we got? Well, we just have to understand that he was a prophet, and but where did he get it from? Why was it Ruth was given not wheat? She was given barley. If we make 7 measures of meal to be the 7 seals, you better remember then there is no yeast in that. You see, are we in the Bible? Feast days. We don't need to understand these things. If we don't need to understand the perfection of the Bible. Listen. They started in Exodus 12 and verse 8 eating unleavened bread on the night of the Passover. Then the next day started the Feast of Unleavened Bread. See, then from there you have your sheaf waves, you have your other that comes. But look, you just think about it, as I said, and it, if it don't break your heart, there's something wrong with you. That every day Jesus would sit down there and go through them things and explain them. Knowing that everything he was explaining his death. You know what the meaning of unleavened bread really is? Sanctification. Because it's cleansed and set aside. You say, yeah, but Brother Dale, how can you get it and keep that leaven from being any problem? Brother Claude preached on it. He's got sending me some things on it of what we can use from other people, but I can use enough from my own spiritual understanding. When you bake bread, you stop that yeast. That's why the 2 loaves was made with leaven. Because they're baked. That's why the Bible says don't eat of it raw. Are soddened. You are not to take your bread and make it not done. It's to be done and cooked. You were not to take it and sod it and, you know, like we do, sop it up. And why? Because you're running back into fungus. See? All right. The Lord Jesus then could come along and say, this is my body. Now you don't know how much I just cut out to get there. This is my body. This is my blood. Now when he said he was the bread that was in the wilderness, was he bread? Or was it like in Exodus or Leviticus 1, you find out one of things, Leviticus, we'll get to it, that it talks about a meat offering. You'll offer a meat offering. Well, but what kind of meat? Look at the original, it says meal offering. What kind of meat would you offer? What do you offer the lamb? No, it's talking about meal. Because you sift it, you do things with it. Listen, folks. Heaven help you to think that Brother Dale thinks he's a smart aleck because he can figure things out. You'll answer for that. Because I have to pray for him to bring these things to me. And I listen to other people talking. Do you realize when the Lord Jesus come up to that communion, he was not only saying, I'm going to die. Now he was going to tell you how that blood over that doorpost kept the children of Israel from dying. Because he said, I'm going to shed the very blood of God. Because that was what was within him.
Amen.
Not just the blood created. That's what our thinking is. The Bible says we're saved by the blood of God.
Right.
Oh, I know. We're not saved by the blood, Brother Dale. We're kept saved by it. Go on. I know those quotes too. I know the scripture. I'm trying to get you to see something. See, the Lord Jesus, when he was, let me get this and I'll just quit on. When the Lord Jesus was offering that communion, he offered them two literal things. Right? Those two literal things were unleavened bread. Baked bread that had no leaven in it. It had been baked out. He offered them wine, which had went through a process that could never be contaminated. You know what I'm talking about? It doesn't spoil. Once it's made into wine, it doesn't spoil. Why would he do that? In comparison of why didn't he talk about some kind of something they need to eat? You know. Because see, that's what man thought. Said, you eat my flesh and drink my blood. But listen. He is our sacrifice. He is our Passover. See, when he gave that communion, he put it in a spiritual condition instead of just literal things. A spiritual condition, but you must remember that it's not his blood you drink, that it is not his body you eat, but it's in representation. Now, let's tie it all together. The prophet said, these feast days represent the seven church ages. So in the seven church ages, you would have the bread and the wine. The body and the blood. Right? The bread and the wine. See, they, that night, he didn't just, listen, he just didn't say to them, I'm the lamb. We just finished the meal. The Passover's over. We've done all that the Bible said to be done. But he said there's one more thing. He said, because I want you to have something to do with this. Remember, it's the top of the seven church ages. Seven church ages is the kingdom of God, right?
Amen.
I want you to have something to do with this. So he took the same bread and the same wine that he had taken for supper. And he instituted a communion and told them to take. And they did. Showing that Christ would be put in to each one of them.
Amen.
As a Passover.
Amen.
Showing that on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost would come into each one.
Hallelujah.
as a Passover.
Amen.
There's what your communion is.
Amen.
That's why the prophet said it's not for those that are not born again.
That's right. Thank you,
but are you listening?
Amen.
See, then they, later on, now even the disciples didn't fully understand the communion, right? Because none of them explained it. Now show it to me. None of the disciples, even Peter's writings, any of them never explained the communion. But when Paul picked it up, he explained it. That communion means more than you think of just one little sip of wine and a little piece of bread you eat. We've seen people healed with it, right? Why? Because it's a spiritual understanding.
Amen.
It's spiritual. It's not natural. You do the natural, but the spiritual is what you're supposed to be understanding. And see, Christ is our Passover. That's why you couldn't have any leavening. It had to be unleavened. We'll pick that up. See, come on, brother. See, now let me just say it this way. In doing what Jesus done, he would show that he was fulfilling his part. Now listen to me. Everybody listening? He would show that he was fulfilling his part of the Passover, the lamb, and that he was going to die. They should have seen that right there. But yet they were still arguing about it, right? Because they didn't have the Holy Ghost to understand. But he was also showing that later on, they would keep these feasts. But we don't have to go out. I'm not talking about that. We don't go out on April the 14th, April the 15th. We're in it all the time.
Amen.
He was showing a spiritual understanding. Because you take that piece of bread and you listen, I pray that every service we have the communion. That piece of bread that you eat, that one little sip of wine that you take, tomorrow, I say it this way, will make blood cells in your body.
Amen.
That you may live by that. See, when he instituted the communion, he was showing that they were going to be partakers of the same thing he was, even to the coming, till they would have to die, a lot of them. And all of them did but one. They'd have to give their life. Because he was showing. This is going from a natural to a spiritual. In a spiritual condition. Listen, folks, you better remember what I said on this, because it'll come back later. When you bake unleavened bread, you destroy all effects of yeast. If you don't sodden it or do anything to it, it's yeast-free. Let me say it this way. The children of Israel, when they would sit down at those feast days and they would have it explained to them, we know what the Passover is, but we come out. Come out of Egypt. But why is all this feast of unleavened bread? Israel was baked in the oven of the wilderness to bake out the sin that they could go into the promised land. Would you agree? Now, if you agree with that, what do you think about this? Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane was so sanctified until he told his disciples, St. John 17, I sanctify myself. He was so cleansed and set aside until he was burnt in the oven. In yielding his own life. To set himself aside that he was a baked lamb. There's our sacrifice. Let's stand. Go ahead.
That's number 210 in the red book.
210 in the red book. Anybody has a need? Like I said, you say, well, we're only studying about days. What do we need to know? I want to know what these days mean. Because I'm involved. With the blood of the Lamb, and I will pass. We want the elders to come forth. Brother Wilson has a need. The elders, would you come? He wants us to lay hands on him and pray for him. Anoint him with oil, because the scripture says that. To anoint with oil and pray the prayer of faith. So then, we believe, don't we?
Christ our Redeemer
died on the cross. Died for sin. Just come around, elders. Let's just pray with our brother and believe that what he's asking for is already finished through the Passover. Because the life was given. The blood went out to prove it. That the life could come back in. And do what we have need of. Father, we lay our hands upon our brother. He requested this. He said, call for the elders. Pray the prayer of faith. And even if they've committed any sin, the scripture said it shall be forgiven them because they're coming with an honest and a sincere heart. We believe you. We lay our hands there with our brothers and believe it. That we, Lord, are your people. The possessors of the Passover and the life within us. We thank you, Father. So just come now and just touch our brother and whatever he has need of, it's finished. We believe you. We thank you. Because we believe it under the blood of our Lord and Savior, the one we're talking about. And as Lord, you saw those in those days what that meant about you, we see what it means about us. And we love you, Father, in Jesus' name. Bless you, God. Just please. Anybody else? And I will pass over you when I see the blood. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Compassion, oh boundless love. Anybody have a need? Faithful and true, find peace and shelter under the blood. And I will pass over you when I, you're dismissed. Just sing out to each other. When I see the blood. When